at the members' meeting, June 25th, that Sunday night, which will be followed by our time of prayer and praise together. So I hope that you are able to make that. That's Sunday night, June 25th. Did we set an exact time for that? 6?
6:30.
6:30. Okay, 6:30. Okay, that's 6:30. Let's take some time to pray together before Rob comes up to preach. Father, we thank you that you address us by your word. And we ask right now that you would give us hearts ready to hear and receive and respond in faith to the preaching of your word. And as we gather, we also think together now of churches all over Western New York. We ask that you would work in these churches as well as ours so that your gospel would shine clearly in this community. Lord, we also pray for churches around the world that are gathering today to celebrate your resurrection, to preach your gospel. Thank you that your mission is advancing throughout the world. So we pray for the global church, and we pray especially for the suffering church, whether it's churches in England right now that are responding to tragedy, churches that are meeting together secretly. We ask that you would encourage them and bless them by your Spirit, that you would minister through the preaching of the gospel, the ministry of the word, in these places as well as in ours. So hear our prayer now and give us hearts ready to receive your word, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I bet this is driving the OCD people crazy. Okay. I appreciate it that you listened to me last week. I told you you didn't want to miss today, okay? And let me tell you again, you're not going to want to miss next week either, okay? You want to be here. You don't want to miss. It's going to be epic, okay? You don't want to miss any gathering of God's people. Not only is that just a wise, encouraging thing to do, we're also commanded that, aren't we, to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And it's a means of grace in all of our lives. That's one of the ways that we grow as followers of Christ, is through the gathering of his people, where we read and we confess and we sing to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and we hear the word preached, and we give, and we share, and we encourage, and we pray. All of these things is just another means of how God uses our God works in our lives to build our faith and to encourage us and to build his church family. So again, I just hope that you will make it a point of being here next week. You don't want to miss it, okay? Growing up, my family took a yearly vacation at the beach, or what we would call the coast. We'd always say we're going to the coast. We would go to a small town called Port Aransas. It's on the Texas Gulf. It's just the most beautiful place in the world. You'd laugh if you'd actually seen that. It's not. It is to me, because there's such fond memories. The beaches aren't particularly pristine. The water's kind of cloudy and murky. Patches of oil float by, you know. I love it. I love it. And I love the years that my family spent there, taking vacations there. One year, I don't know exactly how old I was. Six, seven, I was pretty young, as a young boy. My brother and sister and I were walking along the beach, and someone, this would have been late 60s, early 70s, someone had made a beautiful sand sculpture of a hand in the sign of a peace. It was really amazing. My memory of it is that it was incredible. It was just perfect. It was perfectly shaped. It looked so solid. So I did what any six-year-old would do. I climbed it. And of course, it just crumbled underneath me. And about that time, a car drives by, and somebody in it yells out, "You idiot!" A Of course, that wasn't such a bright thing to do as a child. But you know, sand is a wonderful thing for vacation. You can build all kinds of sculptures. You can build castles. You can build moats around the castles. It's just so satisfying to dig a hole in the sand. Just have a big hole. There's just something very satisfying about that. Sand is soft, and in some cases it can be even silky. Sand is fun to play in, but sand is not good to build on. Sand by itself has no structure, no support, and it is vulnerable to the elements, to wind, to rain, to waves, and six-year-old boys. You know, Jesus used sand to illustrate a vital spiritual reality. He said, "Everyone who hears his words and does not do them is like a man who builds a house on the sand." That house, Jesus said, will crumble, not because the house was poorly built, but because it was built on a poor foundation. And so it is for everyone, for anyone who hears what Jesus said, what Jesus taught, and does not believe him or obey him. You're like that man who built a house on the sand. So I would like to read this account for us. It's actually a parable. Some people consider it a parable. I think it is a parable. Others, just an illustration that Jesus used. But this is in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24. Matthew 7, beginning in verse 24. "Everyone then who hears," this is Jesus speaking, "everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." This is God's word. This morning I continue in the series on the mission and values of our church. We want to be very clear what we're about. We want to be very clear about what we're called to do and about the values that support that mission. The mission of our church, however you want to say it, it was defined for us by Jesus. We were to go and make disciples. We are about making disciples. This means everyone who trusts in Christ is growing, continually growing, and following him in every area of life. This is what it means to be a follower of Christ. We are growing in our obedience to Christ. We are a church making disciples of people like that who are always seeking to follow Christ in every area of life. And this also means that we are actively engaged in loving and reaching our community. We cannot make disciples if we do not engage with those who are not disciples. We cannot, you know, hole up behind these walls. We cannot stay within the confines of our community groups and make new disciples. As Matt has been sharing, there must be an intersection of our lives and of the life of this church with the community around us. We're talking about gospel. We're talking about community. We're talking about mission. Matt shared one of the key values of our church coming out of the gospel is this Christ-shaped community. He also shared the value of our church for Christ-driven mission. Last week, I spoke on the church value of dependency on the Spirit in all things. And again, why are we dependent upon the Spirit? Because of what Jesus said. The Spirit gives life. The flesh is no help at all. Today, we look at our church value of biblical wisdom. We're calling this biblical wisdom. Biblical wisdom is skillfully following Christ in every area of life. Hear that again. Biblical wisdom is skillfully following Christ in every area of life, which means biblical wisdom is skillfully growing in our obedience to the Word of God, which we would understand to be the Word of Christ. Our church must and will help people to obey Christ in every area of life. That is a value. That is something we are pursuing. That is something we want to see in our lives. It is something we want to see in every life of every person that God brings to join with this church family. Our church must and will help people skillfully grow in that kind of obedience to the Word of God in every area of life. You know, the idea behind wisdom is this idea of skill. That's why I've been using the word skillfully. At the very heart of the word wisdom is this: there's a skill. We are able to live skillfully in this life as followers of Christ. We are able to faithfully navigate life with all of its struggles, with all of its suffering, with all of its temptations, with the opposition that comes. We are able to faithfully navigate life in a way that's honoring to Christ. That's what wisdom is about. Living skillfully in this world requires us then to live according to the Word of God. This is essentially what Jesus is saying in this parable. There are two men. They both built a house. Both houses had to endure storms. There were torrential rains. There were heavy floods. There were mighty winds. All of these weather elements, the word that Scripture uses, beat, just pounded on the houses that these men built. One house stands, the other flattens. It falls. You see, the real crux of the story is not the actual house itself, but the foundation of the house. One man built on rock, the other built on sand. See, in Jesus' day, most people hearing this could have predicted how that story was going to end. They knew how precarious it was to build on sand. They knew what it was like to live in an area where there could come these flash storms, where you'd have flash flood and things in the torrent of water and waves, and with the wind would just bowl over things, just wash things away. They also knew the importance of building your house on something that can support that house, that can support the weight of the house and support the activity of that house. So it was the practice to dig down past the surface dirt to find rock and then build up from there with your house. So Jesus says the one who would do that knew that the foundation was sound. If you were building on a rock, you would know that the foundation is sound. It would be able to withstand the storm. The one who builds on sand could expect his house, no matter how well it was built, to not endure the storms that would inevitably come against it. So Jesus sets us up. He makes it pretty plain. The man, the woman, the young adult, the youth, the child who hears Jesus' words, that is the Word of God, and obeys, is like the man who builds his house on the rock. That person is wise. That life will endure. The man, the woman, the young adult, the youth, the child who hears his words and does not obey them is like the man who built his house on the sand. That person is foolish. You know, it's interesting that both the wise and foolish person in Jesus' parable, they hear what Jesus taught. They hear what Jesus said. The hearing is not the issue. It's the doing. The difference between being wise and being a fool is what a person does with what Jesus said. When a person hears what Christ said and what he taught, and again, by implication, we would understand that to be the whole Word of God, the whole counsel of God in Scripture, what happens next is very telling. It's huge. It is important that we understand, again, that Jesus, yes, he is referring, he's in, right in the middle of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. He's in the middle of that starts in chapter 5, runs 5, 6, 7, we're at the end of it, where he's talking about, he's giving this incredible teaching, he's laying out an incredible ethic, he's pointing to some things, he's taking the standard that was here in the religious community and he's putting it way up here. That whole series of teachings, if you remember, where Jesus said, you heard it said this, but I tell you it's this. See, Jesus wanted it to be very clear. This may be attainable. This is not. You need some help. I think that's what one of the purposes of the Sermon on the Mount is. To dislodge in people's thinking like, hey, we can do this. We can do what God requires. Jesus said, yeah, you really can't. You got to examine some things. You got to look at some things. Things go deeper than what you even think. I mean, he is speaking here. I mean, we would understand this to be the whole Word of God, the whole counsel of God that he's talking about here. We wouldn't want to just limit it to the actual words of Jesus recorded in Scripture. But if all we did was just listen to what Jesus said, even in these three chapters, here's what you get. Jesus said we are to be poor in spirit. We are to mourn. We are to be meek. We are to hunger and thirst for righteousness. We are to be merciful. We are to be pure in heart. We are to be peacemakers. We are to endure persecution. That's just the first 10 verses of chapter 5. He goes on and says, he calls us that we are salt and we are light of the earth. He said our righteousness must exceed that of the religious leaders of his day, the Pharisees. He goes on and says, do not be angry with the brother. Do not lust for a woman. Be careful with your words. Love your enemies. Give to the needy. Pray, fast. Lay up treasure in heaven. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't judge. And then he says, and do unto others as you would have others do unto you. We could add many more things that Jesus taught. And we would understand this to be the whole counsel of God's Word. We would not limit it to the actual words of Jesus. But what we're getting at here is the wise person, the one who lives skillfully in this world, hears the teachings of Christ, hears the Word of God, and actively follows them. The wise person doesn't just hear the exhortations or the encouragements to be poor in spirit, to mourn, to be meek, to hunger and thirst for righteousness. The person who is wise isn't just hearing what it means to be merciful, to be a peacemaker, to endure persecution. The wise man isn't just stirred by inspiring teaching. He actually gives his life to following it, to obeying it, to making the adjustments in his life to what Jesus and the Word of God says. And Jesus said the result is that when life dishes out its storms, as life will inevitably do, that person will stand firm. When the rains of disappointment come, when the floods of sickness and sorrow come, when the winds of bereavement and loss come, they will beat upon the person, but the one who hears and obeys will remain standing. But the person who hears the word of Christ and doesn't obey, that person is foolish. What a harsh word. But it's the word Jesus used. This person is a fool, is what Jesus says. See, this person seems to think it's okay to just hear. This person hears, they may even be moved or inspired or stirred, but they really don't do anything with it. This person never breaks off sin. This person never pushes on his habits or conversations. This person never examines the motives or goals or the use of money or the use of time or any of that in light of what the Word of God says. They hear, but they don't do. This person doesn't seek to actually change how they are living. This person isn't sifting through life and relationships to see if they measure up to Christ. See, this person never seriously places their life up against the Word of God and makes necessary changes in order to obey Christ. Family, right now you are hearing the words of Christ. That's good. But that doesn't build your house on the rock. It's what you do with it that determines the house you're building. While hearing sound Christian teaching is good, if you do not act, if you do not apply, if you do not actually obey, then you are essentially no different than the fool. You're building your life on sand. See, the difference is action. To hear and disregard is to build on sand. To hear and do nothing is to build your life on sand. You know, what is interesting again is that the storm comes for both houses. Again, I think it's an inevitable thing in this broken world where nothing is as it ought to be. There's this inevitability to the difficulties and struggles and hardships and heartaches and suffering that we all face. It's not a matter of if, but when. Following Christ, obeying Christ, is the sure foundation of a life. Not following Christ, not obeying Christ, brings destruction and collapse of your life when those things hit. And they do hit. Those who follow Christ and strive, and I think that's a good word. Striving is a good thing for Christians to do in this context. Strive, working, generating energy, working at obeying Christ. You are building your life on a solid, wide, deep foundation that can support your life and the activity of your life. Those who do not do that, those who do not obey, will be wrecked by this life. And I've seen it many times, and you've seen it many times. It is the value of this church, and it is the intention of your elders to work hard, to strive, so that all who God entrusts to us will be wise and not foolish. That's our goal. We want to make sure that we are a church who are doers of the word and not hearers only. James picks up this same kind of theme. So we will work to encourage, to exhort, to preach, to teach, to counsel, to walk alongside of you. That is part of pastoring. That is part of shepherding people. But more importantly than that, we will work to build a supportive community where each of us encourages and exhorts and counsels and walks alongside of each other. We will continue to preach and teach the word so that we might hear what God said. We might hear what Christ said. We will also be diligent to apply the word so you can see how to obey and not just hear. Part of our community groups will continue to be support for each other, but also encouragement to grow in obedience to Christ. It's easy to come together and to talk about our struggles and to talk about the areas where we feel like we're coming up against things that just are overwhelming. We can all go there, and that's good. That should be part. But we want to also have part of this where we press on in holiness, where we press on in obedience, where we are looking at our lives and seeing where we come up short. Family, this means some things about being honest about our sin and where we are not obeying. You know, one of the things that I think has become clear to me over the years of preaching the gospel, of preaching grace, of preaching Christ crucified, one of the things that seems to be coming more clear to me is that we will know when the gospel is really getting deep, when people are truly being set free, when there is an environment where people talk openly about their sin because they want to be done with it. And they find the kind of love and support and encouragement to deal with that sin in grace. You know, I have been praying for some time that God would pour out His Spirit on us in abundance. Family, if that ever does happen, one of the things that will be part of our church will be open confession of sin, because the Spirit will just be revealing how much we are not like Christ. The Spirit will be revealing all the ways we come up short. And it will be doing that not punitively, but the Spirit will be doing that so that we might be free, so that we might truly glorify God. I mean, this has happened historically. People become very aware of their sin when the Spirit of God begins to be poured out on a people. They become very uneasy with all the ways that they fall short. They see all the ways of how unloving they are. They see all the things that just get in the way. They see their selfish motives. They see their words and how their words don't edify and glorify Christ. They become very aware, and they're not okay with it. They're uncomfortable with that sin. And they begin to understand then, turning in faith to Christ, what a great salvation we've been given, that our sin has been covered. I think if you want to see the move of the Spirit in your own life, begin by cultivating an awareness of your sin and spend time confessing your sin. But as we consider our church, I also hope that you will find out as we try to help you follow Christ, as we want as elders and as a church, the value of helping people to follow Christ in every area of your life. There will be classes that we will teach, where we will teach you the word and hopefully help you to obey that word in every area of your life. In our church and the thing we value, if you talk or you want to talk to us about what's going on in your life and you just need some counseling, that counseling is all about helping you hear and ultimately obey God's word, because that's where you start building on the rock. And until you do that, you're building on sand. Biblical wisdom in our church is not just about you living in your house alone enduring the storms. See, there is a community aspect to biblical wisdom. I've already been talking about it. We are called together to follow Christ together in every area of our lives together. We are placed by Christ into a community that is a reflection of Christ, that community. The community is actually more than a reflection of Christ. The scripture says it is actually the body of Christ. Come to terms with that. We are the physical representation of Christ on this earth. And He placed us in community. And when we are each following Christ in every area of life, and when we are each helping and encouraging each other to follow Christ in every area of our life, we are a beautiful and compelling witness to Christ Himself. We look like Christ as a community. We love like Christ. We work as Christ would work. We talk like He would talk. We share as Christ would share. We give as He would give. We help and serve. We look like Christ to this community, to our world. And as we all together build our lives on the rock of obedience to Christ our Lord, they will see how we endure hardship. They will see how we handle pressures. They will see how we skillfully respond to struggles. They will see what happens when the storms begin to beat on us. See, Jesus didn't just form individuals into His witnesses. He formed a community to be His witness. A shared life, shared goals, shared burdens, shared life. A follower of Christ is someone who is striving to follow Christ in an area of life. A follower of Christ is someone who is part of a community that is together striving to follow Christ in every area of life. So don't think of yourself just out there by yourself trying to hear and do what Jesus said. Think of yourself as part of a community trying to hear and do what Jesus said for us to do. See your life in connection with the people who are around you. Let's get rid of the Lone Ranger kind of Christianity that has so taken hold in Western Christianity. We are a community, and a community doing this in faith and in humility and with love is a compelling witness to the world. We are stronger together. That's how Christ made us. He formed a new community in His blood. All this doesn't really matter unless your heart is to obey Christ. And no one can truly obey Jesus without first trusting in Him. Again, the standard is too high, the requirements are too much, and there's no wiggle room if you're trying to be right based upon doing right. To obey Him is first to trust in Him. It's to believe in Him. See, when Jesus said He called people to this way of living, he didn't say, hey, this just general wisdom. He said, my words. He put Himself in the center of it. Who hears what I say? That was pretty bold. And in the last verse of chapter 7, people recognized the kind of authority that He was exercising by saying that. Nobody taught like this. See, we are called to trust in Him if we're going to obey Him. That's the only way it can work. We must believe in Him. We must believe that He came to seek and save the lost. You know, the lost is just a word that describes all people who continue in their defiance of God. who continue to break His holy law. In other words, all people are lost. We have all broken the law of God in multiple ways, over and over again. We are all lawbreakers. And Jesus said, I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. A ransom for who? For lawbreakers. See, the ransom He speaks of is the price for our lawbreaking. We owe God our forfeited life for breaking His law. We just don't meet the standards of God. We aren't even close. We owe God. Christ paid that ransom with His own life. Christ paid what we owed. He took the brunt of the penalty, and then He gave us His life in exchange. Christ paid that ransom for all who trust in Him alone, that He is the only way to be right with God. Listen, there is forgiveness for all your moral failures in Christ alone. To talk about obeying Him without dealing with this, it doesn't work. It can't be done. It's not that it's just hard, it's impossible. But hear this. There is a wideness of mercy for your life, for your failures, for your weaknesses in Christ. There is a tenderness of our Heavenly Father in Christ for those beaten by the storms and the rain and the floods and the winds of life. There's a new way of living that isn't just following a moral code. It is new life in Christ. There's a freedom for the soul in Christ. There's joy of life because of Christ and in Christ. There's the delight of the Father for us in Christ. We are filled with life abundantly in Christ. That's why Jesus said, you must be born again. So I ask again, I say this again to our church family, to all who are here, have you been born again? To talk about obeying Christ without being born again is not possible. How is that done? How are you born again? Jesus said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So believe in Christ today. He is the only way to get out from under the condemnation. Get out from under the condemnation of your own sin. Be born again. And when a person trusts in Christ, they then desire to do what Christ tells them to do. Not perfectly, but there is that desire there because we have been given a new heart. He's given us this new heart. And the Scripture says, what was external has now become internal. That the laws of God are now motivating our desires. The laws of God are now motivating our behaviors. And with that, we know we have the Spirit of Christ, who is also at work in us to help us obey and follow Christ. And we do it all in the community into which Christ has placed us, the local church. And that community will be a witness to the watching world, both in word and in deed. So when we talk about biblical wisdom in this church, we're talking about following Christ. We're talking about obeying Christ in every area of life. We're talking about encouraging each other to be doers and not just hearers of the word. We're talking about helping each other build our lives upon the rock, not the sand. That's why we teach and encourage and exhort and come alongside to make sure we're not just hearers. And when we do that as a community, when we do that as a church family, we become a compelling witness to our world of what it looks like to be set free from our sin, to be in love with Christ, to go after the things of God, to be filled with His compassion and joy in a world that is broken, utterly broken. So we are on mission to make disciples. See them grow in faith. We do this in gospel community. We can do this in the power, can only do this in the power of the Holy Spirit. We do this with biblical wisdom expressed in a community where we are skillfully following Christ in every area of life. And we do that as a witness to the community we are called to love and reach. Biblical wisdom is a value we will continue to pursue of what it looks like as a church, as a community, to build our life on the rock. We want to do what Jesus said. We want to put our lives up against it because we know that we have hope of obedience because of the Spirit who fills us. So let's pray together. Father, we are confronted again by the words of our Savior. We don't want to live foolishly. We know we are in Christ. We can never ultimately be fools who reject you, but we can live foolishly. We pray, Father, that there would be an ever-increasing desire in our lives to obey you, to obey the word. Lord, we pray that we would truly value that kind of living, that kind of life as a church. Father, that we are seeking to follow our Lord in every area of life. Please, Holy Spirit, come and do that work. Help us to live in that, to grow in that, to make strides in that. And I pray, Father, you will keep our hearts focused on Christ, the one who has saved us, who has paid our ransom in full, and who gives us a new heart that actually can obey. Lord, I just thank you for your word, and I pray that what we've heard this morning, that we would be doers and not just hearers. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Family, we're going to end.